Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, in a sermon entitled, I Am Blessed. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made a mystery to us known of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the performance of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we are blessed. I thank you that I am blessed. And as we come before you today, Lord, we pray that we would accept your blessing and proclaim it from the rooftops. In Christ's name, amen. Now, there are a lot of churches in our land that have instituted a ceremony that has become very, very popular. It brings a lot of visitors to church. It's called the blessing of the animals. We've never had it here, but I can just see Ruth bringing her cat and Sharon bringing her dog, so it might be something the elders want to talk about. It is an opportunity for pet owners to bring their pets for the pastor to pray for, either individually or in groups. And some churches celebrate this on October 4th as part of the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And a few years ago, the Associated Press reported on one such ceremony in San Francisco. This ceremony was attended by about 50 pet owners who flocked to San Francisco's Washington Square to have their pets blessed. Some brought rabbits, horses. One pet owner carried a timid cat named Rusty, who hid inside a duffel bag. Rusty is afraid of everything, the owner told the pastor. He's like the lion in The Wizard of Oz. So we brought him here hoping that you would pray that God would give him courage. One woman brought her fluffy white American Eskimo dog, and the reason she brought him is that she was hoping for a change in his behavior. She said he eats furniture, destroys floor coverings, and runs away when he's called, antics that have earned him the nickname Devil Dog. It's so bad that she was asking for a little divine intervention. He looks so sweet, the owner said after the pastor prayed for the unruly 11-month-old pooch. Totally deceptive. When he was blessed, I was really happy that his head didn't start spinning and green stuff didn't start spraying out of his mouth. Well, I hope that blessing worked. I hope Rusty the cat gained some courage and that Devil Dog experienced something as well. If we find out it did work, maybe we ought to actually try a blessing of the politicians. Perhaps a ceremony in Washington, D.C. sometime. Maybe you've noticed that one of the words in vogue in our society today is the word blessed. The young lady in the drive-thru at McDonald's hands you your coffee and says, have a blessed day. A friend is talking about her three children. I am blessed, she says. A guy talking about his job says, I received the promotion that I've been waiting for a long time. I feel so blessed. So I ask you this morning, what does it mean to be blessed? Paul says in the first chapter of Ephesians, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Get this. How much has he blessed us? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not some, not a few, not most, but every single blessing in Christ. He already gave them to you. You already have them, so you are blessed. I am blessed. So, be impossible to explore in depth the complete meaning of Paul's words this morning, but it is an important passage, so let's just look a little bit at where it leads. For one thing, what does it mean that we have been blessed by God? Paul writes, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing." So, what does that mean? Does it mean that everything is going our way? Anybody got a problem this morning? Anybody got a family member that's kind of out of whack? Anybody still seeking salvation for somebody? Everything going great for everybody, right? You got all the blessings in Christ. You must be like, I mean, this is where we are. We're blessed, right? Well, doesn't mean everything's going to go away. Maybe it means something entirely different. You know, usually when we think of being blessed, we think of things like, oh, Lord, he just sent a check. I am blessed financially. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am blessed with good health. Lord, oh, Lord, I can sing like the birds. Thank you for blessing me with talent. Or, Lord, thank you that I just look so good. I look in the mirror and, man, what I see, oh, it is good. And then we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and we see something there in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 4, we read, who are blessed? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh boy. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Second, this is the second one, second blessing. Blessed are those who mourn. I mean, how many people coming up saying, you know, hey, your brother just died. You are so blessed. You are just going through such a rough time right now, dealing with the departure of your loved one from here to the next. You are blessed. I'm not sure people are thinking that that's what it means, but the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Whoa. Persecuted. Our friends in unreached lands, facing all kinds of persecution, facing death, facing beheading. Well, they are blessed. The Bible says they're blessed because they're being persecuted. Why? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. You are blessed. Did you realize that when people insult you, you are blessed? Did you realize when people lie about you behind your back, the Bible says you're blessed? The Bible even says, heck, people say all manner of evil against you. And they do it because of me. In other words, Sally, there are people in their other people's families that they're not really very nice. And they're not nice to you. And you're thinking about that as you're going, but God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Bottom line is, Jesus says in Matthew 5, all these things, rejoice and be glad. Now, the Lord's been speaking to me a lot of sermons these weeks. I mean, basically, the Lord is saying to the disciples, there as Jesus is sleeping in the boat, there's a storm going, they think they're drowning, and the Lord is saying, you are blessed. You have no idea how blessed you are. You are in the boat, think it's going to sink, you're good fishermen, you are blessed. Oh, Jairus, by the way, your daughter just died. You are blessed. You can't imagine how blessed you are. Now, we happen to know that there is another part of the story that follows what is happening with Jesus asleep in the boat, what follows Jairus and the death of his daughter. His daughter is raised from the dead. He is blessed. Man, I'll tell you, there is nothing worse than losing a child. But I'll tell you, to have anybody resurrected having lost them, to find someone who's lost, how amazing that is. So, most people, when they say, I'm blessed, don't think about what Matthew just spoke about. I'm so blessed. You know, you can be blessed financially, physically, things such as talent or intelligence or appearance, and you can lose your soul. You're not blessed. You don't have the things that God really wants you to have. The next, which is the exit of this life into the next, is where an opportunity for absolute blessing happens. Your financial abundance can bind you. Blind you completely. Your eyes can be closed, as Peyton said. We can be blind to the needs of other people because we got so much money we can't see them anymore. Your physical well-being, you're out there really doing your thing. You can be insensitive to those who are suffering. Your talent or intellect or attractiveness can delude you into thinking, hey, I got it all. I can do it. And yet the Bible says, I can do all things. Does it stop there? No. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so sometimes we think that we can do all things. I remember Chuck Colson. Amazing man. Aide to Richard Nixon. Nixon was there. Colson was sent to jail. Sent to jail. And if you ask him before June 17, 1972, on the night of the Watergate burglary, if he was blessed, he probably would have answered, of course I'm blessed. Look at my power. I'm one of the president's closest aides. Look at my affluence. I got a lot of money. Look at my fame. People know my name. All over America, people know who I am. And Colson was blessed in all the ways that we normally think of blessings. But then the house of cards came tumbling down. Overnight, he was totally disgraced. He lost everything. He went to federal prison for obstruction of justice. And just before he went to prison, he was converted to Jesus Christ. Many doubted his sincerity, but they were wrong. As a result of his experience as a convicted felon, he founded Prison Fellowship, now the world's largest Christian outreach to prisoners and their families. It's got more than 50,000 volunteers working in hundreds of prisons in 88 countries around the world. And Colson, before his death, received many awards for helping those who could not help themselves. In his best-selling memoir, Born Again, he wrote, I found myself increasingly drawn to the idea that God had put me in prison for a purpose, and that I should do something for those I had left behind. He left prison. Other people still were in prison, still are in prison today. He lost all those things that most of us call blessings, and yet he discovered in jail what it was to be blessed by God. Are you blessed? Are you living to the best of your ability in the center of God's will for your life? Paul knew what it was to be blessed, and he spent the last couple of years of his life in a Roman prison, not because he did anything wrong, but because of his deep allegiance to Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We're not only blessed, but we are chosen by God. You know, we are chosen. We were chosen, as the Bible says, from the foundation of the world. In the famous play Fiddler on the Roof, the leading character is a pious Jewish peasant living in a small Russian village. And he loves to just stare up into the sky and argue with God. And in one particular dark moment, when everything seems to be going wrong in this little Jewish community, he looks up toward heaven and says to God, God, is it true that we are the chosen people? But God, once in a while, can't you choose someone else? My guess is that millions of our Jewish friends over the ages have asked that same question, for there have been few minorities persecuted as they have been. What does it mean to say we've been chosen by God? Israel was chosen to be a blessing to the world, not to receive blessings, but to give them. That is still happening today. And one of the things that is so wonderful about the ministry that Rob has with the Jonah Mission is what is happening to a community of individuals here at home, Jewish people who need to know Messiah. They need to know him, and we have been called to remember that they are God's chosen people, and we need to bless them. We need to reach out to them. It is what God wants. You know, being chosen doesn't mean that God loves them or God loves us more than he loves other people. We're prosperous people, but it's a very dangerous thing here in this country to say that we have been chosen for prosperity. We many times say, wow, as a nation, we are blessed. And then we look at some of the things that are not happening yet and we say, wow, would we say that we were blessed if we were being persecuted? Some of the other things that the Beatitudes speak about. Our task, our job, be it Ark, be it Rob, be it Sally, Lois, others, is we believe in Jesus Christ and we have a job, and that is to bring people, young and old, men and women, boys and girls, into the family of God. He has in mind, God does, a new world order. A new world order means that every person in this world will live in harmony as children of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's God's idea. And you and I are the agents of God's plan. He has chosen us to do something. Not to sit here and do nothing, but he's asked us to do something. He put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We have a message to give to the nations, to give to our Jewish brothers and sisters, to give to the children of Sling Ewing and Waldron, and that is Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you, and we can offer reconciliation and grace to you because Jesus Christ gave it to us. Mercy and Lois and Rob and Sally, they don't give their lives working every day but Sunday doing stuff for kids. Sharon doesn't do Operation Christmas Child because she's got nothing else to do. They do it because they want to make a difference in reaching out and providing to children and men and boys and girls what we've got. We don't want to hide it under a bushel. We want to share it and give it. And so we sacrifice to do it because we are God's ambassadors. And he is making his appeal through us. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what we say when we say, come to Jesus. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are blessed and have been chosen to be God's ambassadors, as Israel was, to be a blessing on earth. So where do we begin? We begin right here, right now, reaching out in love to everyone with whom we have contact. When as the Church of Christ, we fulfill that one simple mission, the gates of hell cannot long endure. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. One more thing we need to see. Far beyond being blessed, far beyond being chosen, I want to tell you the greatest news of all. Not only are you blessed, no matter what, not only are you chosen, which is absolutely amazing, great news, God tells us that you have also been adopted. You are blessed, you are chosen, and finally you are adopted. You are adopted into God's own family. God is actually your father. Adoption is the process by which a person who does not belong to a given family is formally brought into it and made a full legal family member with the rights and responsibilities of that position. It's a beautiful practice when such families function as they should. A minister in Vermont tells about a Bible class teacher who is registering the children in Sunday school, and she asked two brothers their ages and birthday. One of the brothers said, "We're both 7. My birthday is April 8, 1976, and my brother's birthday is April 20, 1976. And the teacher was a little confused and said, "But that's impossible." The other brother said, "No, it's not. One of us is adopted." And before she was even aware that she had been asked, the words came out of her mouth, "Which one? Which one of you is adopted?" And the boys looked at each other and smiled. And then one of them said, "We asked Dad that a while ago, but he just said he loved us and he couldn't remember anymore which of us was adopted." It's beautiful when it works that way. And in God's family, we are all adopted. Adopted to be children of God. Adopted to be brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is to be blessed. What a wonderful thing it is to be chosen. What a wonderful thing it is to be adopted. Doesn't mean that God loves us any more than he loves anybody else. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easier for us than it is for anybody else. What it means is that because we know him, our lives have meaning and our lives have purpose. It also means that we have been given a responsibility, a job, a task, and a job description. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this calling that you've given to all of us. We pray, as we seek your face, that you would minister to us and use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.